Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino, and this how-to lesson, it's an important one. It's one that you may have never even heard the concept before. We call it the three pillars of real estate. Why are they important? How are you going to use them to limit your downside risk? And what are they? That's what we're going to be discussing on this how-to lesson. And before we start, let me just hold up the book, Creative Cash. Now, this is not a how-to be able to sell Creative Cash. What I'm going to do for you is, if you want a free PDF copy, email me, gino@jakeandgino.com, and I'll send you a free PDF copy. Now, why do I mention Creative Cash? It's because it starts out with the three pillars of real estate. And these three pillars, it's not like we've made them up. We invented them. The information was out there. What we did is we pulled them together and we trademarked them and we called them the three pillars. Now, what are they? Market cycle, number one. Debt, number two. And exit strategy, number three. Now, when you take the three pillars of real estate and you couple that with our three-step framework of buy right, finance right, manage right, as I like to say, that's when you start cooking with peanut oil. Because what you're trying to do in real estate is you're trying to look at what's going on from a macro level, from the cycle level. Have you ever met someone in real estate who makes a ton of money in one part of the market cycle only to give it away in the next market cycle? It's because he hasn't performed the buy right, finance right, manage right along with the three pillars of real estate. Let's dive specifically into each pillar and what you need to be looking for. We could start with market cycle first. I think it's the most important. But let me start with exit strategy. And why exit strategy? Well, to me, I think most beginning investors get into real estate with the idea that I'm going to buy real estate for the long term. I'm never going to sell. Or I just may buy and flip, but I'm not really sure what my exit strategy is. The biggest mistake you can make is not having a plan or exit strategy. It doesn't mean it's not going to change. It can change, but at least having an idea of your exit will give you an idea of what you need to do as far as what type of debt you need to get. Because if you're trying to do a short-term deal, but you're getting long-term fixed rate financing, it ain't going to work, and vice versa. Now, I think that was my biggest mistake early on with Jake, is we didn't have an exit strategy. We thought, hey, we're going to buy these deals and hold them forever. And we were fortunate because the first 600 or 700 units, believe it or not, we still own those 600 or 700 units. They just worked out really well. We got quote unquote lucky because we did buy right, finance right, and manage right. And those assets were in really good locations, good median incomes, good cash flow producing assets. So our exit strategy, although not knowing what it was, we knew we wanted to refinance these properties. And that's what we did. We exited it through a refinance, pulled out our equity, and put that equity into the next deal. So the first pillar is understanding what your exit strategy is for that particular deal. And every deal may have different exit strategies. Listen, we've transacted on over 2,200 units. We currently have a little over 1,600 units in the portfolio. So we've exited on over 600 units. We've done three syndications, full cycle. Now, if you're going into a syndication thinking, hey, I'm going to buy this deal and hold it forever, that might not be the exit strategy for your average syndication because your investors want to get paid back, possibly a refinance, thinking about it. But if you're trying to get shorter term debt and you're thinking that, hey, I'm going to hold this thing forever, that may not work. So understand what the exit strategy is. The second component to that is, I think, really important. And this is where I've made most of my mistakes with life before Jake. Before I met Jake, I didn't have, forget the three pillars. I didn't even have the three-step framework. But I always seemed as if I bought high, market was doing okay, then the market changed. I didn't know what the market cycle was. And more importantly, you're buying and having different strategies in every market cycle. Let's go back to 2008, 2009, 2010. In that part of the market cycle, I would call that a recession. 2010, 11, 12, 13, probably recovery, right? 2014 and 15, that's the recovery part of the market cycle. 2017, 18, 19, 20, expansion, and maybe 21, 22, as you're seeing hypersupply, there are different types of strategies and different types of assets you are buying in those market cycles. Early on, when it's recessionary, you're trying to buy whatever you can. Prices are dropped, you know, things are pretty slow, debt's hard to get. That's when we started. And it was challenging, but there were a lot of deals out there. How many people wish that they could go back and buy back in 2010 and 2011? It's pretty tough to buy at that part of the market cycle because debt is hard to get. That's why creative cash is important. You can use seller financing. And oh, by the way, we were just on a weekly lesson with broker extraordinaire Bo Beery. Check him out. He's in North Florida. And what did he say? A year ago, if you're asking for seller financing, I'd think you're broke. Now, guess what? There's a lot of seller financing going on. And why is that? It's because the market has shifted, understanding the market cycle. So let's bring this to the market cycle and why it's important for you to understand where you are. The last deal that I did by myself before I met Jake, I bought a deal in 2006, end of six into 2007. I made a lot of mistakes. That market cycle, we were obviously at the end of the run. It was hypersupply. I bought in the wrong market. I overpaid. I didn't understand the type of asset that I was buying. There was way too much CapEx involved. There were so many mistakes. But if I had understood the market cycle, I could have waited a year. That asset would have gone on sale. I probably would have paid 70% of what I did. So I overpaid. I didn't understand the market cycle. When we started buying, Jake and I, older assets. Now, as the cycle lengthened and got on to 2016, 17, 18, those asset prices started escalating, the C properties. As to where you see them now, they're pretty high. Now, for us in this part of the market cycle, we're trying to buy newer assets until those older assets start to reset and start to drop in price, where it makes sense to go in and do those CapEx repairs. So let's put this all together where you're looking at the market cycle, your exit strategy, that will tell you what type of debt to get. If you're doing a short-term deal where you're going out, you're fixing and you're flipping this asset and looking to get into more longer-term debt, well, obviously the exit you have to know, you're going to go to a shorter-term financing option. Problem is, a lot of investors have done that over the last 2 and 3 years. They've gone to shorter-term financing thinking that's what they're going to do and they're going to exit. They just didn't understand that rates were going to shoot up and it sort of killed their deal. So understanding where you are in the market cycle, they didn't understand that in 2021 and 2022, you were already in hypersupply. You're already going into a market that was expanding where rates were really low, knowing that sooner or later, the Fed had to raise rates because inflation was there. So you're getting a short-term instrument, which is 24 months, and you're thinking that rates are going to stay this low or low-ish. They got caught off guard. They violated the one of the three-step frameworks that we have, which is finance right. So they didn't finance properly, and they're not buying correctly in the three pillars. You're seeing the damage that happens. What you're ultimately trying to do is you're trying to limit your downside risk by using both of them. Now, going back to that LaGrange deal that I did back in 2006, 2007, not only did I violate the buy right parameter of it, and the market cycle, I also violated the finance area of it and the exit. I thought I'm going to keep this thing forever. I don't have to worry about the debt on it. I got the wrong debt. I got short-term debt. I actually sold an asset and we used a HELOC on that. Well, the same thing happened to me. Rates shot up and I had to refinance into an instrument that I didn't like. I went with a community bank up there. Rates and terms were terrible. So I got shorter term financing that was coming due and ballooning in 5 years. So 5 years after I purchased it, where are we? We're in the middle of a terrible slump. Very difficult for me to refinance, let alone sell. I was graced by God that I was able to work with this bank. They didn't want the property back. I was able to do a modification and that saved me. If not for that, I would have lost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars because I violated the three pillars of real estate. I didn't even know what they were back then. So I'm going to impress upon you, Creative Cash is an amazing book because it talks about these three pillars. And not only that, it talks about seller financing in the book as well, which is a really hot topic right now. Remember the market cycle back in 13 and 14, Jake and I did about 300 units with seller financing or some form of creative financing. Once 2017 and 18 came around, it really slowed down. But back in 2023, we had one deal that was under contract with seller carryback, and we closed on another one with seller carryback. So it's back. So understanding where you are in the market cycle, let me recap this because this is important. Understanding where you are in the market cycle will allow you to create a type of buy rate criteria. What's your criteria in this part of the market cycle? Because it changes. As the cycles change in the market, you're going to change your buy rate criteria. Understanding your exit strategy, is it shorter term? Is it longer term? Will allow you to get the right debt on the asset. So couple all of those three together as you're underwriting deals and putting deals on the contract and creating terms for those deals. Once you do that, you have your buy right, finance right, manage right, you execute that part of the business plan. I'm not going to say you're going to eliminate all of your risk, but I'm going to tell you right now, I would not have done that deal that I talked about back in 2006 and 2007. I would have never, absolutely never have done the Maserati Mike deal. I love to talk about my Maserati Mike story back in 2005. It was a mobile home park. I never would have done that. I never would have done those duplexes in Rochester. And if I would have done them, I would have paid a lot less. I would have understood where I'm in the market cycle. I would have understood my exit strategy. There really was no exit strategy in those duplexes. They're really old homes, terrible market, no appreciation, no job growth. What's the exit? To hold forever and to possibly sell to somebody else for minimal gain, all the while dealing with really not a great market. Understanding that. Understand what your exit strategy is. Once again, Gino@jakeandgino.com. I would love to send you a free PDF copy. I want to thank you. It was really an important topic, the three pillars of real estate. And it's one where you start looking at every deal through that lens, you will take a lot of the risk off the table for you, and you will be able to create a viable business plan for your deals. Now, I want to thank you for spending part of your day with me. I will see you on next week's How To.